When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 170 of Star Wars and Scotch. It's Kevin, it's Tim, but hey. Today we have a guest.
Yes.
We have Barry from the Tardux podcast. Barry, how are you this morning?
I'm wonderful, thank you. And thank you for having me. I can't wait to dig into Star Wars.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Barry had both Tim and I on his podcast. The Tim episode is out right now, so if you search for Tardux Podcast, we'll talk about more of that later, but you can listen to Tim's episode, which I listened to the whole thing, and I found it rather interesting. Thanks, I learned Kevin. Things about Tim I didn't know.
Really?
Not really.
Oh, okay. It's like we've known each other for a very long time.
But thanks for coming on, Barry. But before we go any further, we have to talk about what we're all drinking. Obviously, we put scotch in our coffees. No, we didn't. But we're all drinking King's Coast coffee this morning. Shake up the way you wake up, King's Coast coffee. Tim, what are you drinking?
Bowbreaker. Coffee was
I waited till he... No,
I did. Yeah, perfect.
And I'm drinking the roaster's choice.
I do want to start making some cold brew. I think that's on the horizon. It's starting to get really warm out, so hot coffee isn't all that great right now. So,
I saw something yesterday of a wife got a husband a cold brew machine.
Yeah, those are so
good.
He's
like, I didn't realize it was cold brew concentrate, and now I'm doing push-ups at an alarming rate. Yeah. The funny thing is he kept drinking it, so that was the...
I saw one video on TikTok where some person like put out like a, hey, if this was you... drinking this thing. It was a person who was calling out someone who was drinking one of those like concentrate coffees and was just chugging it. Good. And they're like, hey, just so you know, in a couple hours, you will have to poop your pants. Just be careful.
Yeah, as someone who just went through a medical procedure that involves a lot of pants pooping, don't recommend. So cut the coffee.
I'm really glad they figured out why you kept pooping your pants. So,
well, it was forced.
He's cured. Hallelujah. He doesn't poop his pants anymore.
Hey, the poop's been real. Well, we're not going to talk about that. KingsCoastCoffee.com. If you head over. How much? We got like a month left on the spring surge, right?
Before
we
hit it's summertime. Summer. Yeah.
Jeez, that flew.
So, it did. It always does.
.com. Make sure you get your tickets to GCX, GCXevent.com. Creators are announcing that they'll be in attendance. We have some really cool things happening on the floor. There'll be some Fortnite. There might be some Destiny. There might be some other stuff. Who knows? But
there might be a Magic GCX the Gathering event. Tournament. Ooh.
I would bet my ass there'll be a Magic the Gathering tournament. So, GCXevent.com. Get your tickets now. Get your hotel rooms because the hotel is almost three quarters sold out for the entire weekend. Just saying. Don't be the person who shows up the day before and is like, can I get a hotel room? Not happening this year. That's selling out at an alarming rate. So GCXevent.com/tickets. Barry.
Hello.
Tell us about Tardux Podcast. Tell us about, how it came to be. And I know you and I, when I was on, we had a great conversation like about everything, but we did talk Star Wars on it. And then, even when Tim was on, he was like, oh, I didn't realize you had all of the Star Wars paraphernalia. Yeah, I was like,
oh, you're also one of us. Cool.
But yeah, take us through the journey on Tardux, and then I'd love to hear like your the beginning of your journey with Star Wars as well. But first for Tardux, love to learn more.
So Tardux started as a podcast for content creators that were really in the Tarkov community, Tarkov space. And what predated that was a group of buddies and myself, we, you know, started sitting, we played Tarkov, we loved it, we loved talking about it. It's like, hey, you know what? Let's get together and just chat about this game. And that's where sort of the whole podcast thing started. We had some guests on, and you know, having the guests on was like, that was fun. I want to do that more. So that's what ended up getting me to spin off Tardux. And you know, 138 episodes later, I've had both of you guys on, I have Professor Broman, and it's expanded out more outside of Tarkov. I've had game devs, I've had charity orgs on, and it's just been a great experience with a lot of really great people.
Yeah, it's I listened to a few of the episodes. Hutch was one of my favorite interviews that you did. What a wild story that man has.
I know, right?
I knew he played baseball. I'm originally from Long Island, as you know. So being a Mets fan, I was like, wait, you played for the Mets? Because he's talking about being in the locker room with all these former Mets players. I'm like, this is crazy. So I had to DM him after that about GCX stuff. And I was like, by the way, I listened to your Tardux episode. I had no idea you played for the Mets. He's like, yeah, man. Hung out with Noah Syndergaard. But you do a great job of getting personal with people, I think, in a way that people don't get to see when they watch, you know, a Tim or myself online streaming. And that was probably the refreshing part that I enjoyed, was really just seeing you dive into the weeds with some of these people. And nothing like abrasive. It's a very casual, good conversation about your history, how you got into gaming and all that stuff. But yeah, it's overall, I listened to probably 10 or 11 episodes now, and I'm thoroughly enjoying. It's just good conversation. It's almost like you're sitting at a table listening to two people talk, like at a bar or something, and someone's just telling their story. Yeah. Is that kind of the vibe that you were going for?
Totally. That's exactly what I was looking for. Something like laid back and chill. Let's just have a conversation. Just, you know, like you were talking about, you know, seeing them outside of that stream, what do they like to do? You know, I like to go back through their Twitter or their old YouTube videos to see what they started with, or just find something that's, you know, maybe people don't know, and just, you know, get them to talk about it so that they're not, because every day that, you know, the streamers are streaming, they're just talking about the game and whatnot. And let's talk about something different.
Yeah, no, I think you're doing a great job. I'm excited to see who else you're going to interview in the future. But if people want to listen to Tardux, and we'll do this more than once in the episode, where can they find it?
Tardux. Just search for TRDUCKS on YouTube and, you know, Twitter and everything like that, and Spotify.
Easy peasy. Awesome.
It is,
easy peasy. But more importantly, you're a huge Star Wars fan, and that's why you're here today.
Let's talk about Star Wars.
What's your origin there? Where does it start? Where does it begin? You know, I talk about being at my aunt's house with the ugly brown carpet and the Return of the Jedi. Tim remembers watching it with his siblings and his parents back in the day. Like, what's your moment where you're like, this is cool?
Well, first let me say, Tim starting Star Wars with Return of the Jedi is just
so wild, dude.
Weird.
It is.
That's
weird.
What I did too. It's, we both
started. Oh, you too, Return of the Jedi. Oh my God.
Yeah.
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 So my journey started. So I am over 50, original 1977, going to the drive-in theater with my folks. Seeing it there, and it's like, wow, nothing else I'd ever seen. I was like 5 or 6 compared to that. You know, I was never a big Star Trek fan, the original series. And, you know, we had Battlestar Galactica and things like that, but nothing scratched that itch like Star Wars, you know, from the Star Wars figures going through, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, just, you know, getting those Sears Christmas catalogs and like looking, because, you know, there's no internet, and we're looking, you know, and seeing the commercials and just that hype. And Christmas morning, you know, calling my buddies, hey, what did you get? Oh, I got the AT-AT Walker. What did I get? I got the Falcon. Let's grab all our stuff and get together and play. And that was just, you know, that's the way it was back then. And then, you know, progressing on the video games, we're talking, you know, the Star Wars game in the arcade, flying the, you know, the whatchamacallit, the vector graphics of the X-Wing flying through. You had a little bit of speech in those video games back then. And then, you know, the Atari 2600, Empire Strikes Back, going through, you know, SNES, the Super Star Wars series, and eventually on the computer playing X-Wing. And way back then, you know, you had a sound, you know, you had a ad-lib sound card, and then you had a Sound Blaster sound card. You needed both of them just to get the speech. And I only had the ad-lib one, which just gave me the, you know, the special effects or the sound effects and some music. But yeah, just seeing where it's, you know, the transition and journey of where Star Wars started, and, you know, it's been wild. And then, you know, having kids and then introducing them to the Star Wars, and then playing, you know, like we were just talking about a little bit ago with Star Wars Lego coming out with a new game. That's how I started playing, you know, that's how I introduced video games to my kids, playing Star Wars Legos, you know, Star Wars Legos. And it was just, it was fantastic, fantastic journey.
Yeah, I mean, we're in that boat too. Our kids are a little younger than yours, but we, both of us, you know, dude, Tim reads the
something
books.
About,
Tim
watched something about the, ask your kid who's that and just boom, bam, knows the answer is just the coolest feeling in the world.
Absolutely. My son, he's almost 10. He's in the I need to know more about the lore phase. Ooh. So he's like, when you say the rule of two, that means only two exist. I'm like, well, kind of. He's like, then what about the Inquisitors? And I'm like, well,
that's fun.
We're uncarking a whole thing here, little guy. So, you know, he's in that era where he wants to know more about the lore. And we just started Rebels for the first, not my first time, his first time. He's hooked. He's hooked. I think he has a crush on Sabine.
It's fair.
Yeah. Also, Tim, yep. Danielle binged Ahsoka on Sunday.
Oh, really? Good for her.
Because she had gotten two episodes in. We took a long, long break. And she was like, I need to finish this show. And she was like, next, next, next. So she loved Ahsoka. She said Andor was still her favorite, but Ahsoka was probably her second favorite. Yeah. But yeah, so like when it comes to introducing it to the next generation, as a dad, I feel like that's actually the most exciting part of being a fan.
Yeah.
Is I remember with my oldest daughter watching the Vader reveal, and somehow, some way, it was not spoiled for her throughout her entire life. I don't know how I pulled that off, but so we really enjoyed that. And then with my son, his whole thing is the clones. He is obsessed with the Clone Wars, the clones. We were talking about it last week. Like 4, 5, and 6 are just part of the story to him. It's not like sacred like it is to the three of us. It's just another piece of the puzzle. The Clone Wars is like his favorite thing. And now with Rebels, I have a feeling it'll start to gravitate towards that. But, you know, you said you were in the movie theaters for 77.
Yeah.
You know, you watched the prequels with your children as well, and I'm assuming the sequels too. What's been the best for you as, you know, this is my favorite, this is number one, versus your kids and watching it with them? Like, what's the difference there? Like, my favorite versus this is my favorite, was sharing it with my children.
Yeah, so, you know, from my son is like, you know, sounds like your son. Clone Wars. He loves everything about the Clone Wars. He can go into all each different type of Clone War soldier or clone soldier there is. For me, it's you know, Episode 4. But Rogue One comes really close because I just feel that was such a well done movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Rogue One in the theater with Tim, actually. We saw it together.
Yeah.
That was I didn't expect the movie to be that good, especially after what we had had previously. Mm-hmm. So that was a welcome surprise. And it, with everything we've talked about, and obviously we all know each other through gaming, what's the Star Wars game for you? You've mentioned a bunch. Ooh. I noticed all of your, like, Super Star Wars is one of the hardest games I've ever played. But what's your Star Wars video game?
So a while back, when Sony's VR came out, Sony PlayStation VR, they had a sort of a little mini Star Wars segment where you can actually, you know, in VR fly. And that was the first Star Wars game in VR. That comes pretty close. You know, that was...
Yeah, the one that was for Battlefront.
Yes.
Yes, I did a BCD at Gamescom for that. And that, when the AT-AT walks over you...
Right.
Is by far the coolest moment because it feels like you're in full scale.
Yeah.
It's so neat.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, probably the second Star Wars Battlefront game was really, I really enjoyed that. And then there was the other one, Rebellion. I don't know if you guys remember that one. Mm-hmm. That one was sort of like a, I don't want to say RPG, but it had like, I guess more of a strategy game. of you're managing fleets of trying to move your fleets around to grab star systems and whatnot.
Did you
this is a board game?
No, it was a video game.
You're thinking of Empire at War.
There's Star Wars Rebellion, which is a board game. I'm looking for the PC game. Oh, Rebellion on Steam. I see it.
It's not Empire at War.
Empire at War was an RTS.
This came out in 1998.
I remember this game.
It is a time of great upheaval. The first Death Star has been destroyed, making a major victory for the Rebellion. But the Empire remains strong. As commander, you must choose to take control of either the Rebel Alliance or the Galactic Empire. Your goal? Complete domination of the galaxy.
Memory unlocked. I had this, the demo disc with like the 20 PC games, and this was one of the, you could play the first hour level or something of it, and I probably played it 10,000 times.
Yes. That one got, for that time, that was as deep as, we sort of got.
Yeah, this is cool. It's like a Star Wars RTS kind of.
Yeah.
By the way, if you need every Star Wars game on Steam, it's on sale right now, 23% off for $225.35.
The entire collection? Is that including like Fallen Order and Survival or Survivor?
I'm looking. It says 26 titles. No.
Oh, okay. That's wild.
Yeah, Star Wars has had a hook from a video game standpoint. That's why I bought an Xbox, the original Xbox, because of Obi-Wan was on that. And, that's why I bought a Super Nintendo, was because of Super Star Wars.
It was Super Star Wars was so good.
Yeah, it was.
So difficult, but so good.
Yes.
My favorite is always KOTOR. I will always go back to that, because that was when I was introduced to the greater Star Wars universe, that there was legends out there. It wasn't just the Skywalkers and of that. So KOTOR was like kicking a door open for me. I was like, wait, there's more? I don't think I've looked back since then. So that game, it holds a very special place in my heart. Yeah.
This Star Wars Obi-Wan case, I was like, I forgot about this game. The Obi-Wan case is so just Microsoft Xbox. Everything's in green.
Yes.
And it looks like a high school Photoshop, Adobe Photoshop project that was done. The early 2000s were wild.
They were. Yep.
I remember enjoying that game, though. I think
it was good. From what I remember, it was good.
Yep. And then you had the Sony exclusives, I think.
The PlayStation 2 PlayStation 3 had Episode 3.
Yes.
And that was awesome.
Yep. Yeah. And
Do you remember the Clone Wars game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, on N64.
That game was awesome.
So good.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd enjoy it now, but
my favorite part is Tatooine and having to rotate 90 degrees to go through the slit in the cavern. Like, that's the coolest part. Best part of the game.
All right, so now you're scratching more memories on my side. So I bought the Super Nintendo because of Star Wars. I bought an Xbox. I bought a CD-ROM drive for Rebel Assault. And we're talking this had like just a few cutscenes that were just amazing way back in the days of, CD-ROMs. And, man.
This was the one where they use live-action cutscenes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I remember this. Holy crap.
Didn't they do that in Rebellion, too?
I don't know.
Wasn't it live action cutscenes?
Oh,
or was it just pictures?
Wild. I forgot this time of gaming where we thought using live action would be okay.
Yep. Mad Dog McCree or something like that.
He was an X-Wing pilot. Yeah, and you had to make the actions to do the things. Oh my God.
Yeah, and then I jumped into Wing Commander because Mark Hamill was associated with that, It was just it's Star Wars touches.
Well, he's still
so
associated
aspects.
With it. He's just doing Star Citizen now. He's in the single player for Squadron 42.
Oh, okay.
No, that's pretty much gold, I think. It's coming up soon.
I'm looking at the graphics for Republic Commando since we started talking about that, and that's another favorite of mine. And it's amazing what your brain did when you were younger, thinking like this was the most pristine, gorgeous game. And now I'm looking, it's not ugly by any stretch of the imagination. It still looks like a good game, but I'm just like, it's so jagged, edgy, and squarry.
Yeah, because we had
like
Unreal Engine 5, which sometimes looks real.
I know, but your brain really plays tricks on you, because this was like the smoothest, most gorgeous tactical combat space game. So here we are.
Yep.
When it comes to the movies, you said episode four is your favorite.
Yeah.
Is it because of the nostalgia, or is it because, you know, plot-wise, it's your favorite?
I think just because of the nostalgia. I really enjoyed Return of the Jedi because it sort of had all aspects of a, you know, a Star Wars movie. It had the big space battle. It had sort of a, you know, I don't want to say a land battle, but you had, you know, Jabba the Hutt's, you know, on the sail barge. And then you had, you know, just, you know, some, you know, lightsaber battles, which don't compare to what we saw when episode one and, you know, the newer ones came out with, because, you know, I look back on, you know, four, and you know, you saw, you know, that stiff, you know, sword fight of Obi-Wan and Darth Vader. And then you get what we have today, which all the sort of, you know, acrobatics and whatnot.
Do you know the reasoning why the fighting scene in episode four is so different from all the other fighting scenes?
No.
So in episode four, they went with a traditional fencing style combat because it was either Ewan McKellen was, no, not Ewan, who played? Obi-Wan.
Alec Guinness.
Sir Alec Guinness, or whoever was the body double for Darth Vader. One of them was classically trained in fencing. So they were like, shit, we need someone who can, we need to fight with swords. Who can do it? And they're like, well, I have fencing practice. So like they did it that way. And then they realized that fencing is just too stiff and it's just not like elegant. So that's why they went with more of like a samurai style, like more like traditional, like kendo, like, you know, Japanese style fighting. You know, because it looks pretty and it's just more like cinematic, but also like the retcon for episode four is that they were doing mind games the entire time. Like that's why it was so stiff, is because they were fighting with their mind. I think that's the official, like, why the fight scene is the way that it is, because they were busy fighting each other with their mind.
That's too funny.
Yeah, so that's why episode four fighting style is so different, is because one of them, I can't remember which one, but one of them was fencing trained.
Empire is still, you know, a great movie too. The whole Hoth scene, and, you know, even to this day, you know, so I live up in the Northeast. When it's winter and we have snow and the garage door is closing, I'm constantly, it's just like, you know, that scene of Chewie, you know, yelling as the door closes. It's just, I don't know why.
Sir, your tauntaun will freeze before you get past the first marker.
I'll see you in hell.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's part of the reason I miss snow. It's like you walk outside in fresh snow, you're like, oh, Hoth. But it's just, that's how our nerd brains work. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in 1 minute. We're going to talk about Tales of the Empire and a few other things.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app.
Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back. So Barry, you got to clap again. It's fine. We got to see you got to see Phantom Menace last week in the theater with the re-release. Tell us about it.
So I got, you know, my son was 21, so he never got to see it in the theater. So it was a special thing for him to see it on the big screen. And my youngest, she's, you know, that was probably her. She's not a big into Star Wars, but she sat through it. And so we had at our movie theater here, they had what they call D-Box, which basically the seat, you know, there's a few seats in the theater that are sort of linked to what's happening in the movie. So as a ship is moving this way, the seat tilts that way or vibrates based on, you know, whether it's gunshots or you know, rumble sequences. And that was pretty cool. And seeing episode one again, I hadn't seen it in a while. There's still those cringy moments, but I, you know, do you think it deserves the backlash that it, you know, it got?
I've gone back and watched it a handful of times, and like Duel of Fates will always be like number one for me. So like that's why like episode one can like it still like stays up there because of Duel of Fates. Dialogue is just it's rough for me, and so like there's definitely a lot of points where I'm like, oh man, just like what were they thinking? I don't think it deserves all of the backlash. I definitely like I understand like why people don't like Jar Jar, but man, Jar Jar should like when I think of Jar Jar, I automatically think of Ahmed Best, and so like I feel bad for him that he got so much crap for that role when a lot of it was just honestly just bad writing. For him, like I think Jar Jar could have been a better character.
Yeah.
But he just got turned into the class clown, which kind of like which sucks. Like I don't think we needed that. Like in the original trilogy, we didn't have like this comedic like goofy character, and so like I don't know why George felt like it was necessary to throw that in there. And I know Star Wars is for kids, and I know you need to have like this fun like kid enjoyable character, but it's just like he feels very unnecessary for the most part, unless you believe in the Darth Jar Jar storyline.
Well, we already have Kevin. We have C-3PO, who's the goofy character,
yes.
Comic relief.
If you yeah, but he's not. It. But he's like
so. We got added on top of that.
I guess
because he's being built in one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but he's like
he serves
the
purpose.
He's the comedy relief. Yeah, exactly. But he has a role. Like
I mean, he's in all nine movies, so damn right he has a role.
It makes sense. Well, even in the original trilogy, like it made sense why he was there. Jar Jar is just always just kind of just like getting dragged along the entire time. He didn't ask for any of that.
Well, his tongue gets stuck to things, so he just literally gets dragged along.
Yeah. I think you bring up a good point, Tim. The original, you know, 4, 5, and 6 didn't have that weird comedic guy. But all you know, the other point is that you make a good point is Star Wars is for kids, and there's that aspect of it. And I think a lot of people forget about that.
Oh, they do.
All the time, especially grown men. It's wild.
Look at any post. Like, you could still enjoy Star Wars till the day you die. My uncle has the original 77, May the Force Be With You, button still. Huge fan to this day. Not the biggest fan of the prequels or the sequels, but it's Star Wars at the end of the day, you know?
Yep.
And that's how I feel about Phantom Menace is I think it's the least powerful out of the movies if you remove Duel of the Fates. But I also look at all the movies that way. Like, if you take Rose and Finn out of 8, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I have no problem saying that, but Rose and Finn's story was completely forced and ruined. And I would say Canto Bite was kind of stupid, too. But
Canto Bite's so dumb.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you remove those two factors, if people are like, well, that's half the movie. Well, that's why people don't like it. But, you know, Star Wars is Star Wars at the end of the day. When I sit down to watch through the series, I still watch 1.
Mm-hmm.
I still watch 2. I still watch 8. I still watch 9. It is what it is. It's part of the world. It's part of the universe, you know? And at the end of the day, if you're going to call yourself a Star Wars fan, it's okay not to like something, but to shit on other people for not liking it. Like, get over yourself.
Right.
That's when I go, it's for kids.
Yeah.
It's at Disney World, for God's sake. yeah. Phantom Menace is definitely low on my list, aside from Duel of the Fates. I'll still watch it.
Now, you know, of other movies that got backlash, what's your take on Solo? Did it deserve?
Oh, I like Solo.
I Solo a lot.
Yeah.
I like Solo.
I really enjoyed it. I love the tie-in to the Clone Wars. I love that, you know, you see Maul. We get to see a lot of, like, alien species that we only ever saw in animated in live action.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I really enjoyed it. I think they nailed it. I thought all of the casting was fantastic. Yeah. I would have honestly loved to see another Solo. I would love to see more adventures of Lando and Han.
Yeah.
Like that would have been cool for me. Or even like learn more about Kira. Like we're gonna learn more about Kira in Outlaws, but like I still would have liked to have seen more of like the Syndicate. I would have liked to have seen more of like Crimson Dawn. I would have liked to see more of just like all the other like factions that are there. I know we'll get to see them in the video game, but still, like within like a cinematic universe, yep. That would have been cool. So I don't think it got enough room to really breathe. I think it was just like immediately it got crapped on because they didn't want to do the facial aging or de-aging, which I'm glad they didn't. I went back and watched Indiana Jones, and it's awkward. They used his voice,
yep,
but they used his baby face, and so you've got old Harrison Ford talking. Well, you've got young Harrison Ford's face. And so, like, I'm expecting to hear the voice of Han Solo or Indiana Jones. And instead, I'm getting, like, I'm getting raspy old
exactly.
Harrison Ford. So it's just, I like that they did that. I understand why they didn't continue. Like, they had this continuity thing. Like, if you pay attention to what Star Wars has done, what Disney has done, and what ILM is doing, they want to have continuity. They want it to be where you start at episode one and you go all the way through, and it doesn't really feel like a lot of things have changed. It's just one nice flow. When you get to Solo, because it's not Harrison Ford, because it's not who plays Lando, Billy Dee. It's not Billy Dee. And so it's just like, it throws people off, I guess. Like, that's the only thing that I could really think of is why they didn't continue to explore the Solo movie storyline and go into a second one, is because of how they went about filming that movie.
We don't know what the Lando show is going to bring, though.
Is that still confirmed? Like, I know at one point he was saying that he was going to do it, and then he was going to fund it himself at one point, or he was going to like start throwing money at it.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a producer and his brother's supposed to write it or something like that. But yeah, it hasn't been canceled. I would love, if they're going to continue that story, like, we should see the deal he makes with Jabba that goes bad.
Yes.
As a precursor.
I've always wanted to know what happens before episode 5 and after episode 4, where he is so spooked and they don't talk about it. There's a bounty on his head, but he's supposed to have already paid off his debt to Jabba.
Yeah.
After 4, in theory, he has the money. He got the money from Leia and from the rebellion. So he should have, even though he was the hero, he should have gone and paid it off. And then go and then join. That's the whole thing.
Gambled it away.
That's the whole thing. Did he? I don't know. In theory, the smart guy would be like, I've got friends. I have family now. Like, these guys have accepted me. Let me go pay off my debt. I'm going to join the rebellion. I'm going to fight for the good guy. And then you get to episode 5 and he's like, I've got a bounty on my head. I've got to go.
That could be the first red flag from Leia being like, can I fix this? Or
she loves broken men.
And we know it doesn't work out in the end.
Look at her brother. She kissed her brother because he was missing his hand. She loves broken men. She wants to fix everybody.
Solo is in my, like, L3 is such a great character in Solo.
So good.
I think
underrated. I know a lot of people didn't like Billy Dee Williams Lando. Childish Gambino's Lando. I loved it. Yeah. Loved it. The fact that he was like, I'm Han Solo, and he kept going,
to perpetuate
the joke from the later ones. I was like, genius. Just a subtle little thing that only the super fans are going to pick up on as to when he calls him Han, it pisses him off so much. But it shows their friendship, and like, that's who they are as individuals. But yeah, I would assume Han and Chewie would end up in the Lando show somehow, because I feel like there needs to be more reasons for Han to doubt Lando in episode 5.
Yeah.
Lando's...
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can't just be that one...
It can't be just the one gambling thing.
Right.
Like, there's more to it than that.
And now, I heard in Return of the Jedi, they reshot the ending, because when, you know, Han says, I have a bad feeling I'm not going to see that ship again. I heard or read somewhere that, you know, originally it blew up. Now, did you guys ever hear anything like that?
No.
Yeah, I have heard that the Falcon's last ride was supposed to be in episode 6, but they retconned it, or not retconned it, but they didn't put it in.
Yeah.
Also, I saw something about why Lando's dressed up as Han Solo, and I watched the video. I was like, oh, that's interesting, and then it totally just went out the other ear. Do you guys know why he's dressed up as Han Solo?
No, I didn't notice that. Mm-mm. But
oh, dude, yeah, he's got the black vest on, he's got the tan shirt, like,
right.
He's dressed up as Han, and Han is not in his normal attire. He's in that like Forest Moon of Endor garb,
right?
Damn,
notice that.
Now I gotta go look real quick.
And the other thing that always bothered me, you know, was like, why were there so many people on the Falcon? They were just providing a, you know, like, you see all this.
Well, in theory, the Falcon is supposed to have like a full crew. It's never had a full crew, but it's a pretty big ship.
It is, yes.
Yeah. If you go to Disney World, you can find out how big it is, because you can walk through it to get to the ride, which is one of the most surreal nerd moments. I'm in this algorithm right now.
You don't really walk through that one.
Shh.
Sorry.
Let me live.
Sorry.
I'm in this algorithm right now on TikTok. I don't know how I got started, but it's grown men seeing the Falcon at Disney for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
We all had the same exact face, just the shock and awe. And all of the significant others are always like, I can see the childhood coming back into his eyes. Because we're all just like I saw it at night for the first time. I could not believe it. I was like, it's the damn ship that I grew up watching on television is sitting in front of me. And I couldn't believe it. And everyone has the same look. Some men start crying. Some are like, it is just, it is the happiest part of my TikTok algorithm right now. So I'm really enjoying this whole thing. Like, I don't know. It's Galaxy's Edge makes me feel like a kid. I love going there.
Nice.
Okay. All right. So I went to Screen Rant and I found
Here we go.
Okay. So in a Q&A session with Billy Dee Williams at the 2011 New Orleans Comic Con, the host described why Lando wears Han's clothes. And Billy Dee Williams agreed to several of the explanations. Host, the real answer is costume designer John Motlib decided to put him in the same clothes as Harrison. Didn't mean anything. They were actually sized differently. The fan answer or the universe answer is it's actually a part of the Corellian core group. If you look at Han Solo's pants, he got those red marks on them and stuff. It's from the old army, basically. So it's the same uniform. And Billy Dee Williams' response is, yeah, we were all in the army. I was a general or something. That was his answer.
Oh, man.
So the fandom or the universe answer is that like Lando didn't have enough time to go get his own clothes. So he grabbed some of Han's clothes that were in the Millennium Falcon and threw them on.
I mean, that makes sense.
Okay, and that's it.
Now, did you guys hear anything about this group that is they're trying to redo the theatrical releases of the original series? Like, right, like they're redoing it digitally. They're like every aspect of it, like how the aspect or the filming style and everything. And I guess George is not a fan of it.
First of all, George sold his rights to say anything. Of course, they'll respect his decision. He's been on set for Mandalorian stuff. My big thing there is Disney should have the uncut originals, the remastered originals, and then the digital releases all on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I should be able to go back and watch any of the three at any time because you own the rights to it. There's no reason to not put it up there. You know how many people would subscribe to Disney Plus in the first 2 months just to watch the old uncut originals? I mean, that alone is worth it for them. But for some reason, like you said, George has always been against it. This is where I get weird with George Lucas too. Yes, he's the creator of it. I love the idea. You know, I love hearing him talk about how the rebellion was modeled after the Viet Cong, all this stuff. I think it's so cool. But I don't think he's this super genius that everyone makes him out to be. And I think episodes 1 and 2 are the proof in the pudding of that. Mm. Because when he was untethered and he could do whatever he wanted, he made those movies. As opposed to when he had different writers and he had people saying no to him, which and then in episode 3 he had people saying no to him again, and episode 3 is a very good movie. So I don't know. I don't think he's this like enlightened genius that the fandom makes him out to be, you know, when they're like, Disney ruined this and the Disney canon is, you know, it's like George had 3 layers of legends running at the same exact time and there was no cohesive. Is this part of the story? Well, this is Legends A, and this it was never there. So again, I think it's just grown men complaining on the internet because they have nothing better to do with their lives. But at the end of the day, I don't think George is this crazy like, oh my god, we need to worship the ground he walks on. So I'm all for it. I think Disney should be doing it anyway. I think, again, you should be able to watch any of the 3 versions anytime you want, especially with kids.
Yes.
You should be like, watch the digital one with all the new special effects and everything for them, and then be like, you want to see how dad saw it? Mm-hmm. With like the models and everything. They'll be, you know, I cannot wait till I can show my son Blade Runner, the original. Because I want to be like, that's not digital. That's not CGI. Yeah. Those are all practical models. That is a studio. And that, like, to me, Blade Runner is the pinnacle of that era of filmmaking. So there is something special and unique about Star Wars because they did the same exact thing. I'm all for the originals being able to be readily viewed anywhere at any time.
Yeah, I guess the National Archive has asked for them and George won't give them up.
The hell?
Yeah.
I'm surprised he has them and they're not at Lucas, but that was probably one of the conditions of his sale.
Yeah, after four, five, and six, you know, as a Star Wars fan, as a kid, there was such a that drought was awful. We were jonesing for anything. Sure. We had, you know, there was a really bad cartoon called Droids and the Ewoks.
Yeah,
yep.
And then
they're all on Disney Plus now.
And like, you know, we just, you know, if there was, you know, Star Wars, you know, Mark Hamill was going to be on the Muppet Show. All right, got to watch that because, you know, maybe some Star Wars, but that's
The illustrious Christmas special became because you all had a drought, and that's how we got that.
Yep. And then finally, Timothy Zahn came out with The Heir to the Empire, which just opened up things again, which was so good.
See, that's where you really need to understand, because Tim didn't really like Heir to the Empire, but he just read it like last year. But Tim, you have to understand
the only reason why I don't like Heir to the Empire is because I have a new Thrawn. But I also, but now, because there's so many different variants of Thrawn, I find myself very frustrating. We could talk about that with Tales of the Empire, but anyways,
we'll get into 1 second. Before we go to Tales of the Empire, what I'd like to say, Tim, is Darth Jar Jar is coming.
Kevin, the amount of people that came into my chat and were like,
"That's why I didn't go into it."
Oh my god, Darth Jar Jar's coming, Tim. What do you think?
And to them, I just want you all to know, I'm going to continue reiterating it. Anything that happens in Star Wars Lego is not canon. Because they're Legos. They can blow themselves up and reanimate themselves. There's no rules in Lego Star Wars.
This is essentially What If.
This is What If. This is exactly What If. But crazy enough, people are now being like, it's there. It's true. Like, watch the whole trailer. There's literally like rebellion AT-ATs.
And even the Halloween episode where they got all mixed up in the timeline and everything that was Lego, like, that's not canon, folks. Sorry. I hate to burst your bubble. Now, again, for me, I don't really care about canon. Dude. Canon's, like, just one of the timelines. Everything else is just fun. That's why we enjoyed Vision so much. But unfortunately, for all of so Tim's bad. Chat, Darth Jar Jar is not canon. I hate to break that to you.
The amount of people that tagged me on Twitter and on TikTok and then came into chat, it was wild.
Yeah, it looks fun. I'm definitely going to watch it with
hell
my
yeah.
son.
I'm so excited.
He was actually, even my daughter came over and she's like, "Ooh, it's the Lego Star Wars." So I'm stoked to watch it. I think it's going to be fun. Yes. Did you catch the trailer, Barry?
Yes, I did. Yep.
What'd you think?
I didn't think it was too bad. You know, it's, you know, Lego does such a good job with Star Wars. So I'm, you know, I'll definitely look forward to it.
Lego has this autonomy where they can take IPs and do Legoify them, change the story, and everyone's like, who cares? It's Lego. It's cute. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I love Lego. So I'm hoping that we get some new sets from the Rebuild the Galaxy that are kind of like you said, the Rebellion AT-ATs, mm-hmm. whoever is in the room and wants to call them whatever they want at any given time.
AT-ATs.
See, here we go. We're gonna have
they're AT-ATs. You don't call them ATST. You call it ATST and ATST. No, you don't. You call it an ATST. You can't call it an AT-AT because if you call it an AT-AT, you have to call them ATST.
See, and when I, you know, when that came out, people were calling them chicken walkers too.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
They didn't, you know, because we didn't know back then. That was
so funny.
You know, call them that. Speaking of Legos, you know, that was just another aspect with kids you're able to dive into. And as an adult, hey, I'm buying Star Wars Lego kits for the kids Christmas morning. Why is there so many more extra Christmas gifts on there? It's Christmas. Santa came.
Babe, Star Wars. Yeah. Legos. The kids need them.
That's the whole reason we got the Death Star. That, you know, was because, hey, my son needs to experience this.
Kiddo needs this.
And then
this.
You're sitting at the table building them, and the kids are off doing something else. Exactly. And then your wife's staring at you like,
"Can
you got
I
it for
come
the kids,
help?
Huh?
No, you can't touch this.
You'll mess it up.
But it's mine.
That's not how you put the sticker on. It doesn't go that way.
The decals are wrong. Oh, man. Well, let's jump into Tales of the Empire. I continue to say these Tales series are really good.
And whatever engine they're using to make this, like, this looks better than any other animated series that we've gotten so far. There are multiple shots where I was like, this looks like UE5. It was just, but they kept the animated style the whole time too, which was just breathtaking. The combat?
Yes.
Fantastic. The lightsaber fights? Oh, chef kiss, dude. Just so good.
Paris without her lightsaber was a bad ass, dude.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Just
monking around like, yeah, hit me. Come on, hit me.
And even the flamethrowers too, you know, there's just the way, it was just, the animation was so good.
Mm-hmm. It really was. With the Morgan stuff, one of the biggest things that I geeked out about was these mountain people that live on Dathomir.
Dude, we have good and bad magic.
I was, when she cast whatever that bubble paladin spell, I don't know what you want to call it was, I was like, oh my God, there's light side sisters. Well, oh yeah, it's my God.
But that makes sense since everything is yin and yang in this. And we are now getting more into the magical side of Star Wars because we have the Force, which is one thing. And then you have magic in Star Wars, which is something completely different. And now it makes so much more sense why Morgan never really looked like a Night Sister, because that in of itself was a spell which was broken. Yep. And that's why we were like, what the? How did she? And then that makes sense when she's in the other unit or in the other galaxy and she turns back into a Night Sister. I thought that was like the first time and it was just like she was being possessed. Like, no, that was her coming back to her true form.
Yep.
It was so good.
Yeah, no, that was a huge add on to it. Getting to see Grievous acting like he did in the original Tartakovsky Clone Wars. Yeah. I was like, that's my Grievous.
Yeah. But it was you could tell that this was Dave. Like, he always wanted to do this.
Oh, yeah.
He always wanted to do the genocide of the Night Caesars, the siege on Dathomir, like whatever you want to refer to this as. Like, this was something that you could tell he's been holding on to for a long time because it was so well done. Like, you could tell there was a lot of love and care that went into that storyline.
Someone on TikTok wove it together with the Clone Wars version, so to make it like one long video. Wow.
I'm sure it's really good.
It was very good. I flicked away before I could send it to you, and I was like, no, I lost it forever. I can't find it again. Now, but yeah, it was pretty cool.
Now, when Morgan was being tested, was that a Nogri that was attacking her?
I think so.
That's Rook.
Okay.
Thrawn's assassin who in the original Heir to the Empire.
They were the bodyguards for.
He was a bodyguard. He was a bodyguard for Thrawn. He acts a little differently in Rebels, but he's essentially the same guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that brought back memories.
He's in Heir to the Empire.
Yeah. That's what I said. Yeah, he's in Heir to the Empire, and he's also in Rebels, but he's different.
Yeah. Yeah, because I completely forgot about them. I was like, oh, yeah, those were the bodyguards. They were the ones that helped. They were after Lady Vader. That's what they were calling her.
Yeah, we knew that Thrawn was going to be involved, basically, because we know Morgan's history. We weren't sure how. Yep. We saw the classic Empire, like, well, we want your planet's resources, not your
tech. That was so good.
Tech. And then Thrawn was like, no, I want your mind because you're brilliant. But I freaked out because Pelion, you remember him from Heir to the Empire too. He's also in the end of Mandalorian in the Shadow Council meeting.
He's also in the Thrawn books, Kevin.
And he's in the Thrawn books, yes. He is he's Thrawn's right-hand man. He does everything for Thrawn. And I'm assuming he will be in season 2 of Ahsoka. I don't see why he wouldn't now that Thrawn has come back to the universe.
I know we don't have a lot of time, but I do have to bitch about this Thrawn again, because this Thrawn versus the Thrawn that we get in the books, I'm still very torn.
Why?
Don't, because he's so horny for the Empire in visual medium, in the show. He's very horny for the Empire.
Tim, what is every great, well, I shouldn't say but, great, what is every successful dictator and evil person in history, what do? They make people gravitate towards a symbol, an ideology, something that they can rally around.
But he's not that.
He needs to be that.
But that's the whole thing, though, is that when he's on his own, he's still doing everything for the glory of the Empire. I don't see the Thrawn. He's not, but that's not Thrawn. Thrawn doesn't do it for himself.
Thrawn does it for himself for the Chiss Empire.
Thrawn does everything for the Chiss Ascendancy. So for him to be selfish and do things for Thrawn Mithrodo, like, that doesn't make any sense to me, because everything that he did leading up to the point where he is taken by the Empire to the Emperor, everything that he was doing was for the Myth House. So I am just, I'm still confused as to what is Dave Filoni doing and what is Timothy Zahn doing? And are they talking to each other? Is something just not being like shown? Like, is he holding
Zahn
on to a card?
Zahn worked on Ahsoka with him.
But Thrawn is so different. And I'm so confused. I still have not found the hook for Thrawn. Is to, like, where does it hook us into the books?
Thrawn is trying to rise as high as he can in the Empire in the first part. Then he gets exiled. And then now I think he's trying to take over what the remnants are to serve the Chiss Ascendancy, because whatever is coming, whether it's the Grisk, the Yuuzhan Vong, whatever it ends up becoming.
It's got to be the Grisk.
Thrawn knows that they need to be stronger to defend themselves. And he knows that there's this readily available universe that can assist the Chiss Ascendancy in its defense of whatever is out there and coming. I would even say the Grisk would be great because it's in the books and whatnot. But Dave, now all of a sudden chief creative, he might be like, well, I got this Yuuzhan Vong card in my pocket. I'm just going to pull it out and slap it down on the table now. So who knows? But that's why I think Thrawn is going for absolute power. I don't think he's doing it like he's keeps repeating the mantra almost to ad nauseum of trying to condition people when he says, long live the Empire, and then walks away from them. He's not just like the way, think of the way he talks to the Night Sisters in Ahsoka. He's like, good mothers. Like, he's always treating them with respect and honor. And look at all the things they do for him because of that.
Yeah, he's a schmoozer, really, dude. It really could be. He's just playing it up. I don't know.
He's a schmoozer. That's what he does best. And he gets inside your mind. And that's why he respected Morgan, because of her intelligence and her ability. Isn't the TIE fighters that they displayed on the screen, aren't those the First
Order
ones?
They were the defenders. No, those are the defenders. Those are the ones that Thrawn
uses.
In Rebels,
that's I've seen them before.
Develops.
Right. So, yeah. And he says sometimes it's, you know, sometimes the cost justifies, you know, the means that what we're going to do with them. So it's just things like that where he becomes more intelligent than her. I did love basically the like leading us right up to Mandalorian, like literally.
Yes, that took us essentially days before we meet up with Ahsoka and Mando, because the forest is still smoking when we get there. So if they incinerated the forest, I would say maybe that was like maybe 3 or 4 days. Like, everything's still really hot, you know, it's kind of just like charring out. Like, it hasn't been too long, which is really, really neat. And that it makes sense why Morgan was in there.
Now, are you guys fans of the snippets, the way they do it, like, you know, 15 or 20 minute long episodes, or would you rather just see the full 1 hour combined?
I think what's cool about the tales that they've been doing is that they're able to segment times. And so, yeah, like, exactly. if you notice, we've jumped around in all of those. So Morgan, you get early Morgan, you get mid Morgan, you get late game Morgan. And it's the same way with Barriss Offee. You get. Yeah. Right as the temple is being sieged, you get weeks after the Empire has taken over and they're building the Fortress Inquisitorium, and then you get her at the end, probably around like episode 5. I was trying to figure out like where in that time frame she was. I would assume it's right in the middle of the original trilogy. So I put it like right around episode 5 is where that last scene takes place.
The same thing in Tales of the Jedi with Dooku and Ahsoka.
Yes,
like,
which
Ahsoka's
was great.
Born, Ahsoka's training with Anakin, which leads to the Order 66, and then Ahsoka kills the Inquisitor at the end. Dooku,
which is her book.
Right.
Takes you around her book. Dooku is...
Actually,
is
they're two separate Inquisitors, they confirmed. For Ahsoka.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. There was two different ones. And then with Dooku, it was early with Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
It was then a little bit later on where he was like feeling like he was kind of like getting ready to go on his own. And
with Mace.
And then it was at the end where he kills Yaddle.
Yeah, with the Emperor.
And then it takes you right up to episode 3.
And I
so
missed.
Like, I really, it's just little digestible pieces that help fill in the gaps, which I really like.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I don't mind the short pieces.
Yeah. I missed Tales of the Jedi and went back and watched. I was like, oh, that was good. Yeah. Yeah. Except for the blonde wig on Yaddle. I don't know. That's tough.
I mean, That whole scene with Yaddle, like, she's always been a background character. Obviously, she plays a role in the books and comics. But to understand why she's not at the council meeting towards the ends now. Now, yep. I think originally it was probably like, oh, she's off on a mission. Now it's like, no, she's dead. Yep. So, and I wonder, too, do they know who killed her ever? Does the council know? Because that's kind of important.
They might not even find her body.
Yeah, if the Emperor has anything to say about it.
I mean, she could have, I don't know.
With Barriss, my favorite part of all of that was getting a look inside the Inquisitorium again.
I will straight up tell you, everything was great until the end.
What didn't you like about the end?
Everything was great until the ending of the second episode. I don't like that she just becomes a good guy. I don't like we go all the way through and like I love that she's like she goes through the trials, she snaps the guy's neck. I'm like, oh, she's gonna be a badass. And then she's questioning everything the entire time. I was like, you literally just killed a guy that you knew in the Jedi Temple, and now you're still questioning yourself if you're good or bad. Like you did the ultimate act. Like what
it was
else?
The inverse of Dooku, Tim.
I know, I just don't like that. It feels like I would have liked her to just been
in. Your dark side is showing.
It really is. I really wish, because it's Tales of the Empire. Like I'm so tired of every time they're like, we're gonna give you a pure imperial look into Star Wars, and then it's always a flip to the being a good guy at the end. Look at Battlefront 2.
It was the opposite with Dooku. It was Tales of the Jedi, and he became a Sith.
I'm just saying, Barriss off, I think, would have been better. It's just I would have liked to have just seen her being an Inquisitor. Like, when What's-Her-Face goes through and just, like, annihilates that whole town, I was like, yeah, there it is. and then she just, like, cowers out at the end, and it's just like, okay. And then she becomes a monk. Like, it's just, I don't know, I was a little surprised. I wish it would have been, like, I wish she would have died at, like, I wish she would have gone and fought Ahsoka again. Honestly, that's how I would have liked to have seen that end, is that Ahsoka killed her at the end.
I feel like Ahsoka would have absolutely
destroyed her. And that's what I'm saying. It would have been great. It would have been an awesome way to end that, because of all the crap that those two went through in Clone Wars. And then everyone's like, well, where the hell did she end up? She becomes an Inquisitor. And it would have been cool if she would have been like, well, a badass Inquisitor. Like, she was like right under the Grand Inquisitor. Like, she was his pupil. And like he taught her everything that there was to know about being like a dark side follower. Like he was a temple guard, so he was one of the highest trained Jedi Knights in the Order. And like he's a cool guy. And if she would have been like his apprentice, oh man, I would have loved that. But I digress.
Well, we got to, in the Barriss ones, when she was knighted, I don't know what you call it when they confirm them or whatever, but we had the unnamed Inquisitor. We still don't know which
the guy with the
brother
who looks like a Reaper.
Yep. Yeah, the one that Ahsoka kills.
Yep.
We had Merrick was in the room from Ahsoka.
Yep.
And then we had Lynn, who's the fourth sister, in the room too. So I thought that was kind of cool that they just like Merrick's here. Hey, he's in the background hanging out.
I feel like they're going to continue dropping that character in.
Just randomly?
Yeah, because we have to know how he becomes reanimated, or they become reanimated.
Mm.
You know, there's something to it. Like, we know that at some point it's dark magic that fills that husk. So,
and why is he not a zombie like the stormtroopers, and he can still like
make thoughts
function as if he was as an inquisitor? So, I don't know. What did you think, Barry, of Barriss's story?
I liked it. I kind of agree with Tim, though, about, you know, she just caves so easily. It's like you go through all this training. And, you know, how do they not pick up on her? You know, she's, you know, not, you know, losing her dark side of things.
She's teetering.
I feel like Vader's the only one that's strong enough to even, or the Emperor. I don't think the Grand Inquisitor or the Inquisitors are strong enough to, like, pick up on that. Plus, it seemed like it was a moment, not like, or I shouldn't say a moment, but it was like
she was questioning a lot the whole way through. I think, like, at the beginning when she, like, kills off everybody in the town, like, I think at that moment she was already wibble wobbling. She's like, I don't think this is right. This seems kind of messed up, which is so weird because in the first episode she's like, yeah, dude, I don't want to die. Snap. So,
but it's almost like, you know, you go from the Jedi and you do have that core values instilled in you. You think they're not doing it the right way, just like Ahsoka did, but they just kind of went two different ways to end up in the same place almost. Sure. And I think Barriss felt so bad about all the things that she did, which is why she became nonviolent. I feel like it was a really good way to show, you know, and when she's not the first Inquisitor to second guess themselves. If you read Rise of the Red Blade, she also second guessed in a different way. She was pissed because she wasn't allowed to love. They weren't allowed to take, a lover. So, I mean, different strokes for different folks. But at the end of the day, you're dealing with 13 sisters, though I'm from Rise of the Red Blade. But at the end of the day, you're dealing with a bunch of people. Most of them were ex-Jedi. Even the Grand Inquisitor is a former Jedi. He's a temple guard.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have those core values instilled in them. The whole thing that Vader's trying to do is break them. But even Vader turns in the end. So how can we really justify not turning, Tim? Come on.
And I like what you pointed out, Kevin, with the sort of like, you know, you see Doko was good and then he transitioned to bad. Whereas with Tales of the Empire, we saw Barriss go from, you know, bad to good. I wonder if that was done on purpose.
I'm hoping that if this Coder remaster comes out, that the next one is Tales of the Sith and there's Old Republic stories in there.
It'll be so good. Yeah, I like that.
That's my hope, is that that releases and then we get three Revan stories and maybe three Malak stories or something like that. Something new and different and weird. Revan would be perfect because if you want one story where the person stays on the side and the other one where they change, Revan is it. Like he is the master of light and dark. So I don't know. I think it'd be fun to introduce Revan to the screen in that way, but who knows? Who knows where they're gonna go next? Well, Barry, it really was a pleasure having you on, getting to talk Star Wars with you. It's the best part of our Wednesday is hanging out and talking Star Wars.
True.
Good way to get through the week. But again, tell folks where they can find Tardux, you, all of that, in case they want to come and check out some of the episodes.
Yeah, on YouTube, Twitter, Spotify, Tardux, TARDUCKS. And, you know, next week, Kevin's episode will drop.
Nice.
Woohoo! What timing? And you can check out Timmy's Darkness429 everywhere on the internet.
Very true.
Tim, you're playing Arena Breakout.
I'm doing Arena Breakout today. Yeah, yeah.
Today and tomorrow.
And tomorrow's Helldivers as well. We'll figure it out. But yeah.
Friday's Fortnite. Like, we got a lot going on this week.
Got a lot going on this week. Kevin, where can they find you?
KMagic101, Kevin Exhibition on Twitter. And we are Star Wars and Scotch. We're Star Wars, Scotch, or Star Wars and Scotch everywhere on the internet. It really helps when you guys comment, review, subscribe, all that fun stuff. So please, 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 thank you so much for the high ratings on Spotify and all the comments on YouTube. We do read them. We don't respond to all of them because some of you are jerks. Most of you are really nice, but that's why we don't respond to every single comment. But thank you so much. We will see you next week. We will have another guest on. We're not going to say who that is, but stay tuned to socials. Tim?
May the Force be with you.
Always.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it. With UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck. And check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.